is NPR.
On the Halloween edition of Fresh Air, we enter the Funhouse of Fear with Stephen King. His novel Joyland is set in an amusement park. A teaser for the book says, "Beyond the lights, there is only darkness."
Read the line again.
You like it that much? You want to hear it again?
Can I write or what?
God.
Just kidding.
Stephen King on the next Fresh Air.
Support for programming on this station is provided by Sam Keto, Democratic candidate for State House. Paid for by Sam Keto for State House.
Global warming, toxic spills, water and air pollution are not new, but have you heard of the ecological imperative in the age of cybernetic organisms? What if we embrace our monstrous condition as cyborgs? Could we transform the planet and ourselves? UAS history professor Robin Walls asks, who's afraid of the big bad Borg? At the next Evening at Egan, Halloween night, October 31st, 7 p.m. at the Egan Lecture Hall at the University of Alaska Southeast.
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services, providing services for identification, evaluation, and rehabilitation for individuals with hearing difficulties. Located in the Jordan Creek Center. Information at 789-6780.
And welcome to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser. Today is Thursday, October 30th. We have a fabulous show lined up for you today, as we do every day here on Juno Afternoon. We'll talk with Greg Cheney about air quality as well as the status of CBJ lands. We'll hear from the United Kingdom Ukulele Orchestra performing tonight at the Juno Douglas High School. And we'll talk with folks at the Treadwell Arena, the Ice Arena, about what's going on over there. We'll also hear from Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up. I also want to remind folks that we are in the middle of our fall membership drive. So please give us a call here at 586-3636 to become a member today. And first, before our first guest, National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Control of the Senate could be up for grabs this midterm election. Some believe the Native vote could be a deciding factor. There are many Get Out the Native Vote efforts across the country. Charles Michael Ray looks at one in South Dakota.
On a dirt road in central South Dakota, a small diesel bus is stirring up dust whenever it starts. This bus, nicknamed the War Pony, has been to all 9 reservations in South Dakota, covering about 1,300 miles in just 6 days. Dustina Gill is an organizer of what's called the Get Out the Native Vote Res Tour 2014. While the Native vote is only a small part of the state electorate, Gill believes it is crucial this year.
Our issues are huge. Our needs are huge. Congress, D.C., the president, nobody's going to understand that unless they hear our voice. And right now it's to our vote.
In close races, the Native vote can make a difference here. Tim Johnson won office in 2002 by about 500 votes. Earlier polls showed a tight 3-way race in this year's U.S. Senate contest. More recent polling shows a stronger lead by Republican frontrunner Mike Rounds. But Chase Ironeyes isn't swayed. He's an attorney and member of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, and he's helping organize a statewide Get Out the Vote effort.
Republicans in South Dakota have been afforded the luxury of being able to ignore Native people because we haven't voted, because we've been disenfranchised, disempowered, and we don't control our own economic, social, and political destiny. But now that's changing.
The Get Out the Vote bus, nicknamed War Pony, is part of that change. If this ends up being a close race, the control of the U.S. Senate could conceivably hinge on how many Native Americans vote by November 4th. It's still an uphill battle for anyone challenging the frontrunners in this election. Republicans tout more than 1,000 volunteers across the state who are also making sure they have a strong turnout. For National Native News, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
There are Native Americans across the country who won't be allowed to vote next week because they have a criminal record. In Minnesota, it's estimated that number is around 10%. Melissa Townsend reports.
48 states have laws limiting people's right to vote based on their criminal records.
Vermont and Maine are the exceptions. In Minnesota, convicted felons can't vote while they're in prison or on supervised release. That's probation or parole. John Poupart is from the Lac de Flambeau Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa, and for 20 years he worked in the Minnesota criminal justice system. He says when American Indian ex-felons get off probation and regain the right to vote, they often don't register.
Most ex-offenders think they don't have a place anymore. They may have lost hope in being significant positive contributors to their community. I think you've paid one heck of a price for the crimes you may have committed, and rightly so, but it doesn't have to be the end of your life.
Sarah Walker is founder of Restore the Vote, a group trying to change Minnesota law. The organization wants people's right to vote restored as soon as they are released from prison. That way, Walker says, every adult living and working in the community can have a voice on election day, even if they're on probation. Walker says generations of voters are at stake.
The first time my experience with voting was going with my mother to the ballot box. So if you're denying whole communities that ability to pass on, and I think there'll be a generational impact on political participation.
In 2013, nearly 6 million people across the United States were not allowed to vote due to felony convictions. For National Native News, I'm Melissa Townsend.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Our democracy is a government of the people, for the people. Let's keep it that way. Vote on November 4th. Get registered, cast your vote. It's that simple. More information at nativenews.net. Brought to you by the Carnegie Corporation of New York and Kawanic Broadcast Corporation.
Built by Native Business for Native Business, the Native American Contractors Association B2B Conference and Expo, November 10th to 12th. Participants engage in discussion, build contacts, get federal contracting training, and business development. Registration at nativecontractors.org.
National Native News brings you information from around Indian Country. Find out how to reach our listeners while also supporting this program by visiting nativenews.net.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser. It's Thursday, October 30th, just one day before Halloween. And here is Greg Cheney, the lands manager for the city and borough of Juno, as well as Dan Blydorn, the deputy lands manager. And they're here to talk to us about the air quality that actually takes effect here pretty soon, speaking of Halloween. Hi, guys. Welcome to the studio.
Well, thank you for having
us. Yeah, so the air quality, if you want to, Dan, I'm wondering if you can kind of give us the oversight about what happens, because it happens every year and people don't always...
It does. This program has been active since 1983, but since 2006, the new air quality regulations set by the EPA have made the standards lower, and since then we have administered the air quality program in the Mendenhall Valley, which starts on November 1st and goes through March 31st. And in a sense, it is an issue with air inversions and meteorological conditions that don't move the air around enough, and particulate matter builds up, causing the air to be unhealthy. So when this happens, the city and borough of Juneau calls an air emergency and encourages people and requests that people stop using their wood stoves.
So, Greg, it's interesting because you'll hear, you know, you'll say, we'll hear it all the time. Okay, you cannot burn in the valley right now. And I think a lot of people just don't really even know what that means.
Well, hopefully people with wood stoves do. And it's like, as Dan said, it's been going on for several years. So most people with wood stoves are aware we have a program. But for those who are new and for those who might have forgotten, the program is set up to make sure that the air quality in the valley doesn't exceed healthy standards. And people with asthma, especially elderly people and young children, it can really be a problem. And the Mendenhall Valley in the wintertime, especially those cold, clear days, if you stand back, you can really see it. There's just like a knife edge. The below, it's kind of murky and smoky color, or at least cloudy looking. And above, it'll be beautiful, clear skies. So when we get that condition and people are burning their wood stoves, it just keeps building up. So what we have is a monitor on the top of Floyd Dryden Middle School, and it monitors air quality, and we are watching that every hour, almost 24 hours a day in the when it's an inversion. And when we see it getting close to the edge where it's going to be a serious health risk, we'll issue an air emergency. And the air emergency is a condition where nobody is allowed to burn wood stoves anymore in the valley. And as long as we catch it early enough and people comply, then the air will remain, healthy enough until the inversion breaks. If people don't stop burning or if we don't catch it early enough, it'll build up and become unhealthy, and it'll stay that way as long as there's an inversion. So that can last 6 or 7 days. So we're really try really hard to watch the air quality, and when it starts to get to the right meteorological conditions and the right smokiness, we shut down the wood stoves in the valley, and it's been working pretty well.
What are some of the indicators, Dan, that you're looking for when it's time to say, okay, you can't burn these anymore?
That's a great question. A lot of times we work with the forecasters out at NOAA in the valley, and we work with them to decide when the inversion is going to be great enough. So a lot of times it's weather conditions. Unfortunately, those weather conditions are the days that air is not moving around and it's very cold and still, which are the days that most people really want to use their stoves.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we'll look at our monitoring station and monitor the numbers every hour, and then we'll contact the NOAA forecasters and try to get the prediction for the next few days and see if the weather is going to clear. A lot of times if it starts to snow or rain, that moves the air around enough where we can avoid calling an air emergency. But when we call one, it's usually the forecasters say, oh, it's going to be a couple of days of clear and cold, and the air is not going to be moving around, and they encourage us to call one at that point.
Yeah. And Greg, you said that it's a problem for people who have asthma, and what are some of the other complications that can arise from a bad air quality?
Well, it's what we're monitoring is specifically fine dust, and it's what makes smoke black. And it's very fine to go down into a person's lung and lodge there. And if you get it built up too much, I mean, you get something like black lung or, something that's an extreme case. But it's been shown to be one of the more hazardous things, especially for young children as they're growing. They don't get enough oxygen. It creates a black coating on the inside of the lung that's nasty stuff. So, fortunately, we have a system where we can monitor it and keep it at a reasonable level. So that's kind of our major concern.
So we've had a burn ban. I know I've announced them on the radio before for sure, but what is the best way for people to get this information if you're living in the valley and you know that it will probably affect you sometime this winter?
Listen to K2. It's always a good idea. But
I totally agree. And if you think it's a good idea too, you could give us a buzz here at 586-3636 and become a member today, because where else would you get information about the burn ban? Well, a couple more places. Where would that be?
Okay. So, other than that, we have a website. And the website is actually, if you're really wanting to know exactly up-to-date information, the website's probably your best bet. As soon as we call a burn ban, one of the first things we do is update the website. And on the website, there's a big red no burn sign that comes up when there's an air alert. If we're getting close, a lot of times we'll have a note below that, it won't say not to burn, but it'll say we're in a situation, please monitor carefully, there may be a burn ban soon. So we also have a phone number, 586-5333, so that's 586-5333, and give that a call. We also update that as well. So there's multiple ways, and then we have the very low-tech way of we have these signs that are in the Mendenhall Valley that get opened up when there's a burn ban call. But there's a little bit of a delay. We'll call a burn ban. That means somebody has to actually physically go around and open, and there's 11 of them now, and it takes a little bit of time. So that's a slight delay. But and the worst way to find out that there's a burn ban is to have a community service officer come to your door, because these poor guys have this really hard job. They have to walk around the Mendenhall Valley, and if there's someone with a smokestack smoking away, they will come to your door and give you a warning that it's a burn ban. However, if you're not heeding the burn ban warnings, there's a $100 fine for the first offense, a $200 fine for the second offense, and a $300 fine for the third offense. So, be nice to those guys. They have a hard job, but hopefully you'll be checking the listening to the radio or checking the website or calling up to find out that there's a burn ban before the community service officer comes to your door.
Great. Anything else you wanted to add, Dan?
I'd just like to add that website. It's actually just juno.org. Under Hot Topics, it'll be air emergency information. And just click on that. It'll take you right to the website. And right in the center of the page, you'll have either a red square box that says an air emergency in effect or a green box that says there is no air emergencies in effect at that time. And the hotline number, which is 586-5333, is automated, and we just record a recording saying there is an air emergency in effect or there's not one in effect. So it's really fast and really easy.
Sounds great. Anything else you wanted to add, Greg?
Yeah, just for those folks who don't really know where the burn ban area is, it stretches from the airport north to the glacier and from Montana Creek over to the Mendenhall Peninsula. So it's a big box you can draw around the Mendenhall Valley. But we also have a map on the website that gives you very specific, you know, streets and exact locations so you can see if you're over the line or inside, if you're on the border. But pretty much if you live in the Mendenhall Valley, you're in it.
Thank you. Yes.
Another topic to bring up is open burning, which is also not allowed during the winter season starting November 1st through March 31st, and that includes the area of Lemon Creek. So that would be burn piles and slash from tree cutting and anything like that that you'd burn outside is not allowed during the season as well, and that includes the Lemon Creek area.
Great. Well, guys, I have to ask because we are in the middle of our membership drive. I have to ask because, you know, it's my job and everything. What do you love about public radio there, Greg?
Wow, that's a big question.
What do you love about, about KTOO in specific?
I love KTOO because it is a great way to get information out to our community. There's so many people listen to it. So often I'll hear us, well, walking down the hall, I'll talk to somebody and they'll say, oh, did you hear on the radio? And of course I did because I was listening to the same story, and that gives us a chance to start a conversation from a place of, you know, informed knowledge.
And what about you, Dan?
I particularly like the local news. Not having cable TV or any other way to see or hear the news, I listen to KTOO all the time to get my local news almost every day.
Awesome. Well, Greg and Dan, thank you so much for coming on air to talk about all the information that we need for air quality coming up here starting November 1st, and you can find out all sorts of information also online on the city's website. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not the one who's running out of time.
And thank you for listening to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. It's Thursday, October 30th, and we just got a burst of music in the studio. I'm very happy about that. I would like to welcome Peter Moss, Alex, and Leslie from the United Kingdom Ukulele Orchestra. They're here in the studio. Welcome to town.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny because people hear ukulele orchestra and they're like, what? But an orchestra has so many different instruments. But you all do have a lot of ukuleles. So I was wondering, just how do you, you know, how did you all get started? Why don't we start there?
Well, the point was I've always played ukulele through my life one way or the other. My father bought two ukuleles for my brother and I when I was about eight. And through that whole situation, I decided to put people together at the end of 2009. And in 2010, we went in the studio in London and started doing videos for YouTube. And then we did our first ever concert tour at beginning of 2011. That was sort of 2.5 months in Europe. And it went from there. And it sort of built up and built up. And we're now here in wonderful Juneau, in beautiful Alaska, and and we're moving on gradually down south to California.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we're just pushing through.
Alex, when did you get involved with the orchestra?
Me, I got involved in January, actually, for this year's tour, so I'm a complete newbie.
Cool.
Yeah, it's very scary.
And Leslie, what about you?
I was one of the original members, actually, so I've been in the orchestra for quite a few years now. And, it's been an amazing experience. Get to go to beautiful places like Alaska and travel all over Europe, and it's wonderful to meet so many, like, lovely people. We've been made so welcome here.
You know, is there something about the instrument that that really says it's a party, it's a fun time?
And I think it's really accessible to play, really. I mean, a lot of children are learning it in schools now, and kind of it's something that people can pick up and learn a couple of chords and sing along to your favourite songs, and you can make it as complicated or as easy as you want to, you know, as far as you want to take the instrument.
And speaking of complicated, you all have some serious arrangements too. I mean, we're not talking,
They always blame me. I give them a good thrashing. But it doesn't hurt.
So are you the primary arranger? Or
yes, I'm the arranger, creative director, music director, if you like, because I founded the whole thing way back. And my idea for the whole ukulele, it's a wonderful, fun instrument. We had a wonderful evening here yesterday in Juneau at a private house, and we were just playing for, you know, the whole evening. But also, I wanted to demonstrate in the end that the ukulele can be used seriously. I mean, we have got some serious arrangements. We do versions of, I mean, in the show tonight, we will be doing Saber Dance, Kachaturian. We'll be doing Rondo a la Turk from Mozart. And the one thing that everybody said was absolutely impossible, I managed to do this year, and that is we do Tubular Bells. Mike Oldfield's Tubular Bells.
Wow.
On ukulele. And people say, well, that's impossible, you can't do that. But... they do it.
We do it.
Yeah, we do it. We've managed to pull it off.
So what are your backgrounds? Are you all... So you started in music, so you grew up doing music young.
Yes.
Is that the most of the case with your group?
Yeah, I mean when I tried to form the ukulele thing, I didn't want just ukulele players. I wanted really good pro musicians that can play ukulele as well. And for instance, I mean, Leslie plays various things, guitar, and she has other interests as well. Alex plays a million things as well. We've got Sarah Dale, who plays, she was in Montreux Jazz Festival this year as a bass player. We have so many other people are doing stuff. I think we're all great characters, and that brings the humour to the show as well. So everybody is a professional musician that plays ukulele, not just a ukulele player. And that doesn't demean anybody that just plays ukulele, but it means I wanted to take it that step further. Because the thing is, without that, you can't play these complicated arrangements, because everything I do is notated, and therefore they have to sort of learn them and read them.
As well as that, the show's quite a performance as well. It's not just playing music and then we just move on to the next song and it's all very serious and we just play the songs. There's a lot of humour in what we do, there's lots of kind of warmth, and it's a real show that is put together, so it's not just literally sitting down watching an orchestra. You can really kind of enjoy the show.
It's a multi-sensory experience.
It is, yes.
Oh, I love that.
All five senses and the sixth one as well.
Nice. So is it something, do you script your performances? Because I read a lot about you all. It seems like a great time. I mean, it seems, you know, I've seen the videos. It seems like just such a blast. Do you script your shows too?
Well, when I choose the new songs for the thing, you know, it's all, I have the final say, but in the end, everybody has a right to say whatever they want. And I give ideas. I write the ideas for the links, and then I hand it over to them. And of course, it could end up totally upside down. Then they come up with something totally different. But that's my, in my role, I think, up to a point, is to sort of push people and say, here's an idea, now do something with it. And that's what makes the group so unique, because everybody has their own unique take on what they do, and they come up with some really funny things. I've got to say, some really funny things that I would never have thought of. And that's the genius of it all, I think.
So, Alex, how did you become part of the band? So was there an audition process, or how did that work?
Well, I was on my way to play a punk rock festival in Blackpool in the north of England, and I got a phone call from a foreign number. I thought, I'd better pick it up. So I picked up my phone, and this crazy German voice said, hello, is this Alexander Gold? And I went, yes, this is she. And he said, I hear you're a great ukulele player. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'd never touched one. I bought a toy one, a pink toy one that had been, I think, drunk when I was a student, and it sat in my room for about 6 years. And I went, yeah, of course I am. What do you want to do? He said, if you want to join our orchestra for a 10-month tour. So I figured it couldn't be that much different from guitar, and it'd be a good, you know, challenge to pick it up and learn it. So I did, and that was it. But it was a happy accident. I've still got no idea to this day how they found me.
We're not going to tell you. we don't want to destroy the myth, Alex.
I bet Peter knows.
I say nothing. My lips are sealed.
And so you were one of the founding members as well.
Yeah, one of the original members. So I've been in the band for quite a few years now, yeah.
That's great. And so is this your, you know, this is what you're doing. You're touring all over the place these days. And is this your first time in the States as the group?
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
We do a lot in Germany, but this is the first time we've crossed the Atlantic and come over here.
And Alaska first.
Yeah.
That's so hardcore of you all.
Well, the rest of the USA is going to have like a hard job keeping up with, you know, how impressive Alaska's been. Alaska's been amazing.
Yeah. It has really been amazing. Yeah, you talk about hardcore. When we were up the Skagway, the first thing they said is, there's a huge bear. And if you see the bear, be big. don't run away and don't cower. So, of course, everybody's walking behind me.
Well, you're pretty tall.
I'm 6'7".
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all walking behind me and saying, wave your arms. Yeah, so talk about hardcore, yeah.
That's great. So speaking of arrangements, so tonight you have 8 people with you playing,
right.
And then, of course, there's 3 in the studio now. But you said that you might gift us with a tune.
Well, we thought we'd do a nice little pop thing, you know, and as we have our star man, Alex, here to sing, he's going to do, we just thought we'd do our version of Viva La Vida.
Great.
Coldplay.
Awesome.
Okay, so straight through as we normally do it. 1, 2, 3, bar.
I used to rule the world. Seas would rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone. Sweep the streets that I used to own. I used to roll the dice. Feel the fear in my enemy's eyes. Listen as the crowd would sing. Now the old king is dead, long live the king. One minute I have the key. Next the walls were closed on me, and I discovered that my castle stands upon pillars of salt and pillars of sand. I hear Jerusalem bells are ringing, Roman cavalry choirs are singing. Be my mirror, my sword, my shield. My missionaries in a foreign field. For some reason I can't explain. Once you go, there was never an honest word. And that was when I ruled the world. The doors to let me in, shattered windows and the sound of drums. People couldn't believe what I'd become. Revolutionaries wave for my head on a silver plate, just a puppet on a lonely string. Oh, who would ever want to be king? I hear Jerusalem bells are ringing, Roman cavalry choirs are singing. Be my mirror, my sword, my shield, my missionaries in the foreign field.
for some reason I can't explain. I know St. Peter won't call my name, never an honest word. And that was when I ruled the world.
Rock and roll cliches?
This is a bit where we normally ask people to raise their hands in a glorious celebration of rock and roll, but we can't see you this time, so I have to trust that you're doing it at home. So raise your hands and wave them from side to side. You were the band there especially. My missionaries in the foreign field. For some reason I can't explain. I know St. Peter won't call my name, never an honest word. And that was when I ruled the world.
Nice. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
That was rock and roll.
That was so rock and roll. That was rock and roll unplugged. Dig it, dig it. So a lot of your songs are, you do classic and you have a lot of rock tunes as well.
Yeah. We do things like Radio Gaga. And of course, the people love to clap. And our ukulele scientist, who has invented a brand new ukulele instrument, which you will see tonight. He then does his Radio Gaga clapping bit, which the whole public love, and so that we do that. Yeah, we do. So we do various rock songs as well, but we also do other funny songs. I mean, the most famous, I suppose, one of the most famous ukulele players of all time was George Formby,
mm-hmm.
in the 30s and the 40s in England, and of course he was famous for his innuendo, which meant he never said what he really said, but had a cheeky little grin.
Mm-hmm.
And he is very, very famous because he is the very, very first person in the world to be banned by the BBC.
Awesome.
Yeah.
what an accomplishment.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful. And so we do that. We do a little bit of George Formby to acknowledge, you know, what he did for the ukulele and stuff like that. So, yes, we do a great, you know, we right across the whole spectrum.
Yeah, so and any genre is available for
absolutely.
You. Really.
Absolutely, anything at all.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything that people say can't be done, that's a challenge.
Anything like classical, something from a film soundtrack, or, you know,
what do we do? Pirate.
Yeah,
Pirates of
the Caribbean.
That opens up the second half.
I think one of the elements for the element that makes the show so good is it's such a mixed bag, it's so disparate. And, it, you know, there's no sort of genre linearity there at all. You know, It takes something from pretty much everywhere you can think of, so there really is something for everybody.
And you never know what's going to happen next.
We don't know what's going to happen next, half the time.
So I have a couple more questions for you, but I do want to actually plug the show, because that's happening tonight. It's tonight at the Juno Douglas High School, and what time are you on?
7:30. Seven, I've been told. Oh, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
So please come at 7, or you'll miss the first half an hour.
Well, you won't be there till 7:30, so don't be 7 p.m., that's great. It's going to be lots of fun up there. And you said it's you have two acts, so you take an intermission? And
We do the first half's about 50, 55 minutes. There's a 20-minute pause, and then we do another 55 minutes with a couple of encores, if people want an encore. If they want something extra, we can provide that.
Yes, and you can get tickets at the Jack, of course, and I imagine you can get tickets at the door as well as Hearthside. I'm getting the head nod. Perfect. So definitely check these folks out. So are you? What about original compositions? Is that also happening too? Or?
Well, one of our members, Peter Baines, we've already done a thing. He wrote he does a lot of work with children in Scotland. He comes from Edinburgh, and he wrote a song. He wrote a song called Broccoli. And we said, why did you write a song with broccoli? He said, well, I'm trying to get children to eat their greens.
It's a perfect...
And you can't actually answer that, really, can you?
Yeah.
But anyway, but we did do this, it's a very good song. And
we do originals. So,
yeah, and Andy Wilde has written one as well.
Yeah.
And so I've got an idea in my head that next year we're going to go into the studio and do an album of original stuff.
Well, that was my next question.
Yeah. That's in my mental pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I will try to make that happen next year, because I think that's the way to go, to get some original stuff out there.
Would you mind just telling us who the other members that you have in town with you today?
We have as you face the stage, I'm just trying to think, as you face the stage, we have Alex, who is sitting with us here. And then we have Peter Baines, and then we have Sarah Dale, and then we have Alan Dowson, and then we have...
Pockets,
that's Stuart Kraut. They call him Pockets. I don't know why, but you'll have to find out for yourself tonight. And then we have Leslie, then we have Andy Wild, and right on the end, playing bass ukulele, I'm sitting, anchoring, or getting in the way, depending on
the day. Yeah. Nice. I love it. So you're thinking studio plans, but I imagine that touring is also just something that's keeping you pretty busy.
It is, yeah. We're busy for the next few months. So we've got the rest of the US dates. We're going all the way down to LA and then fly out of LA in a couple of weeks. And then we're back over to Europe doing a tour at the beginning of next year. So that takes us all the way kind of through to springtime. So, yeah, it's really busy.
Have you been to the Hawaiian Islands? Because, you know, I think a lot of people, of course, associate ukuleles with the Hawaiian Islands. And I wonder, you know, what your influence is there. Do you use songs there? Or do you have plans to go?
Well, we haven't been yet. But, I mean, one of the things we're trying to do with this American tour is to open up the possibilities of doing that. And I mean, you know, the whole history of the ukulele is fascinating. And a lot of people don't know why it's called ukulele.
No, I have no idea.
Well, it's originally because, don't quote me on the actual dates, but about 1850, Portuguese ship turned up with a very small Portuguese-type guitar with four strings, and somebody started playing it, and the Hawaiians loved it so much, and then they started building their own. And the reason they called it ukulele is because it's so small, and when the fingers are going like that, you could hear that, viewers, listeners, you can hear that, they said it looked like jumping fleas. And the word jumping flea in Hawaiian is ukulele.
And it does sound like jumping fleas, too.
Yeah, and that's why the name ukulele is there. It means jumping flea in Hawaiian.
Huh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
I mean, I didn't know that until about 3 or 4 years ago. I read up a little bit on it, and I didn't know that either. So, yeah, it's interesting how these names come about. So we would love to go to Hawaii at one point.
Yeah, it seems like a perfect natural fit. Yeah. Kind of taking it to the next, the original level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd love to do that, yeah.
Well, super. Is there a website or a Facebook or a place where people can get...
Yeah, we've got our website, www.ukulele-orchestra.co.uk. The Facebook page is the United Kingdom Ukulele Orchestra, and please like us on that, and you can see photos and videos. And we do video blogs as well, so we're... Our resident ukulele scientist, Pockets, is making lots of video diaries of our tours, and you can see all the things that we get up to while we're over here. What? And on Twitter as well, Tukuo Tweets.
What is it again? On Twitter?
Tukuo Tweets.
Oh, cool. Yeah, the videos are awesome. They're just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for so much for coming on air today. It's Peter, Alex, and Leslie of the United Kingdom Ukulele Orchestra. It's a pleasure to have you in town, and I know tonight, listeners, you will not be disappointed. Make sure you get there. The show starts at 7 p.m. That's the Juno Douglas High School. And, you will not be disappointed. Thank you so much for joining us in the
studio.
Thank
you very much. Thank you very much.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, October 30th, and my name is Shona Strasser. I will let you know that we are in the middle of our fall membership drive. If Juno Afternoon is as important to you as it is to me, give us a call here and become a member at 586-3636. Here's Garrison Keillor with Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 30th of October, 2014. It's the birthday of Fred W. Friendly, born Ferdinand Friendly Wackenheimer in New York City, 1915. Went to work for CBS Radio and there met Edward R. Murrow, whose producer Friendly became. They did a number of news documentaries together for CBS News, where Fred W. Friendly resigned in protest in 1966 when CBS scrapped a hearing on Vietnam so they could run a rerun of I Love Lucy. It's the birthday of Ezra Pound, born in Haley, Idaho, 1885, whose reputation is based in part on his great generosity in promoting the work of other writers, James Joyce and William Carlos Williams, D.H. Lawrence, Marianne Moore, and T.S. Eliot. Ezra Pound, in his early 20s, taught literature at a small college in the Midwest, but he caused a scandal by allowing a stranded vaudeville actress to sleep over at his place. He was fired for that, but the college gave him the rest of his year's salary, and he headed off to Europe with it. He wanted to meet William Butler Yeats, who he thought was the greatest poet writing in English. He found Yeats, befriended him, worked as his secretary, and later married the daughter of Yeats's former lover. In 1914, Ezra Pound met T.S. Eliot, and he campaigned to get the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock published in Poetry magazine. Ezra Pound, who spent most of his writing life on the Cantos, a modern epic. There are 109 completed cantos. The first begins, "And then went down to the ship, set keel to breakers forth on the godly sea, and we set up mast and sail on that swart ship, bore sheep aboard her, and our bodies also, heavy with weeping, and winds from sternward bore us out onward with bellying canvas, Circe's this craft, the trim-coiffed goddess." And it's the birthday of the second president of the United States, John Adams, Braintree, Massachusetts, 1735. Made a name for himself as a young man by arguing against the British right to tax the colonies. Became an advocate for independence from Great Britain. It was Adams who nominated George Washington to serve as commander of the Continental Army, and it was John Adams who chose Thomas Jefferson to write the Declaration of Independence. Here's a poem for today by Edward Field, "People Who Eat in Coffee Shops." People who eat in coffee shops are not worried about nutrition. They order the toasted cheese sandwiches blithely, followed by chocolate egg creams and plaster of Paris wedges of lemon meringue pie. They don't have parental, dental, or medical figures hovering full of warnings or whip out dental floss immediately. They can live in furnished rooms and, whenever they want, go out and eat glazed donuts along with innumerable coffees, dousing their cigarettes in sloppy saucers. Edward Field's poem, "People Who Eat in Coffee Shops," from "Counting Myself Lucky," published by Black Sparrow Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. And by Arizona State University, with more than 70 campus degrees now available 100% online at online.asu.edu. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. It's Thursday, October 30th. I just wanted to let people know that we are in the middle of a membership drive here at KTOO. If you'd like to become a member, please give us a call at 586-3636, or you can pledge online at ktoo.org. In the studio with me right now, I would like to welcome Lauren Anderson. She's the manager of the Treadwell Ice Arena. Hi, welcome to the studio.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So Treadwell Ice Arena always has so much stuff going on. And I'd love to get all the updates because actually some really cool things tomorrow, right?
Tonight, actually.
Oh, tonight.
Yeah.
See, I don't even know what day it is. So what's going on?
Tonight we have our annual Halloween skate, and it's from 6:45 to 8:15. So be prepared for a spooky night in Douglas. It's full of costume contests, treats, music, and a disco ball.
How can you have Halloween without a disco ball, really?
Absolutely. We'll have glow sticks for sale for $1 as well.
Nice. And is it open to families, anybody, and does it cost money?
Yes, it's open to all ages, and the fees are adults are $6, youth are $5, and skate rental is $2.25.
super affordable.
A great time on the ice.
We also have a family rate, which is $25, and that's for two adults and up to four kids, and skates are included.
Yeah, what is a screaming deal.
It is.
Yeah. So what else is going on over there?
Well, next week we have a couple of hockey events going on. We have a Laura Stampower skating clinic, and that's November 4th through the 6th, and that's through the Youth League, the Juneau Douglas Ice Association. And actually, this weekend, we can back up a little bit and talk a little bit about some of our open skate times. We have an open skate on Friday from 12:15 to 2, that's tomorrow, and 5:15 to 6:45, the same fees, adults $6, youth $5, and skate rentals $2.25. We also have a freestyle, which is open for figure skaters, and that's from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and a pond hockey from 7 o'clock to 8:30 for those hockey players that might want to skate tomorrow night. Those fees are adults are $7, youth $6, and skate rental is $2.25. The weekend open skates, we have our regular Saturday open skate, which is from 1 to 2:30 and 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Sundays, we have our stick and puck, which is from 10 o'clock to 11:30 in the morning, and those fees are adults are $7, youth $6, and skate rental is $2.25. And then our Sunday open skate is from 11:45 to 1:15. The fees are adults $6, youth $5, and skates for $2.25.
So is there a place online that people can get all the schedule? Because I know I am, you know, because you all do, you like schedule by the hour there. You schedule things really tight, which is really wonderful because it gets as many community members in as possible. So is there a place where people can get kind of the lineup?
Yes, we do. We have our weekly schedule, and that's at www.juno.org/icerink, or you can just Google Treadwell Arena and it should pop up. In the top of the on the page, it has our monthly schedule, which has all of our public skates, which includes our open skates, parent and tot times, freestyle times, pond hockey, stick and puck, and any type of skating you might want to do with your families.
Great. Is there anything up and coming? Because I know at the holiday season, it starts to get pretty cool. I'm skating with Santa. It's always a big favorite, for sure.
Yes. So along with the Laura Stamm Clinic, we also have that weekend, we have the annual Jamboree Tournament for women, and that's a great time if you're interested in coming out and watching some hockey. It's free, and you can come and check it out. That's November 7th through the 9th. And if you're interested in coming and skating for some of our holiday events, we have our turkey bowling, which is the day before Thanksgiving, and that's a disco skate, and that's on Wednesday, November 26th. From 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and each person bowls one frame, and if we have a tie, we do a bowl-off, and you're actually bowling with a turkey, and if you're under the age of 7, we have a game hen, which is just a little bit lighter for you,
nice.
And we have plastic bowling pins, and it's a really fun evening, and the winner can take home a fresh turkey, and in the past, we've had donations, and so we'll see who we get this year. We're looking forward to it. And Skating with Santa, of course, is a big hit, and that's sponsored by the Douglas 4th of July Committee, and it's free to youth 12 and under, and that skates and admission, and that goes along with the annual Douglas 4th of July Committee's tree lighting at Pioneer Pavilion in the Douglas Savico Park area, and that open skate is from 7:45 to 9 o'clock on Friday, November 28th. And all of this information is on our November schedule, which was just posted yesterday on our website. You can always call us at 586-0410 if you have any questions. And we even have a Twitter account at CBJ Twitter.
Awesome. Lauren Anderson, manager of the Treadwell Ice Arena, thank you so much for giving us all the up-to-date information about that very cool space.
Thank you.
It's all right with me.
spend my life with you. And this ain't seen, oh baby, since we've been together. Ooh, loving you forever is what I need.
Thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. Today is Thursday, October 30th. I'd like to welcome to the studio Becky Bear with the Juno Pride Chorus. Hi.
Hi, Shona. How you doing?
I'm well. Nice to see you. Yeah, so you all have a pretty cool event coming up.
Oh, yeah. We're having a Halloween dance tomorrow night at Rockwell's starting at 8. DJ Manu, who is he just rocks, is going to do DJing for the whole thing. We'll have a costume contest with the prizes will be cash. And I guess that's about all there is to say, except come on out and have fun.
Yeah, so it's actually a benefit for the Pride Chorus,
correct? Pride Chorus, right.
Yeah, how much are the tickets?
$15.
And you can get them at the door?
And only at the door, and there will be a no-host bar.
And I heard last year it was a total blast.
We have fun. fun.
Nice. And just so people can get a sense for what's coming next, when is your next concert for the Pride Chorus?
The end of January, and I don't have the exact date, but we've moved our concert up to January now. We won't be doing the April thing.
Oh, cool. Well, that's even sooner for us, so we're very lucky.
Yes.
Cool. So could you tell us one more time, it's at the Rockwell's. Upstairs.
8 o'clock, upstairs, 8 o'clock, $15, be there or be square.
Costume contest. And you said cash prizes, and that's actually, you know.
Yeah, everybody says, what are you giving? I said, cash, and they go, that works.
Exactly. And DJ Manu, the hottest DJ in town right now.
He is really, really good.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming to town to tell us about it.
Got mad and closed the door, but you said, child, just once more. I chose you for the one, now we're having so much fun. You treated me so kind, I'm about to lose my mind. You made me so very happy, I'm so glad you came in.
And thank you for listening to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. In the studio with me, the one, the only.
You always say that.
I can't help it. It's just true. Nancy DeCherney here with Arts Up. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, isn't this Pledge Week?
Hey, it's Pledge Week.
Have I heard the phone ring? No.
No. And
I
you want know,
to hear the phone ring.
It's making me sad. If you appreciate Nancy DeCherney as much
and
as I do.
Shona doing all of this, everybody doing Juno Afternoon, please call and let us know.
That's right. 586-3636. And if you're scared of telephones, I am myself personally.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's not like a phobia, but,
a
you know.
Phonophobia.
A phonophobia.
Shona's phone phobia. That's bad.
Okay.
Give us a call. If you're scared of phones, go online.
You can do it online.
KTOO.org.
Yeah. Or just send a check in the mail.
Yeah.
All right. But
please,
be great to hear the phone ring. Okay, you ready to rip and roll here?
Yeah, let's
okay,
do it.
Okay, this is busy, busy week, of course.
Of course.
So if you need any details, you need to go to the website, jahc.org, click on the community calendar, and it'll give you all the details. You already talked about the 12th annual Halloween skate that's happening, so no details needed there. 7 p.m., it is the tale of the West Texas Marsupial Girl.
That's right, and this is Thunder Mountain's play out there, and they are this play is about bullying and actually, and not, you know, kind of inadvertently. So yeah,
and they run it for the weekend, so take your time to get out there and see that. Theater at Latitude 58 is presenting also at 7 o'clock. How Things Happen in 3. This is happening at the Douglas Methodist Church, and I think we have a couple of opportunities to see that as well. But of course, at 7 o'clock, where you really need to be is with the ukuleles, the ukulele orchestra at the JDHS Auditorium. I just want to say we had 900 students today, this morning.
From all over the place?
From all, DZ, the high school. It was just amazing. And the kids were having a good time.
Well, these folks are so fun.
Yeah,
you know,
it's happy,
infectious.
Happy music.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you need a little happy, tonight at 7 is what to do.
I should totally go to that.
Yeah. There is a free rehearsal of The Winter's Tale at 7:30 over at McFeeters Hall, which is just a prelude to the fact that it's going to be The Winter's Tale running through November. That's the theater and the rough thing. Of course, tomorrow is Halloween, so you have to get all your fancy outfits out and get ready. There's an organ concert at the State Office Building. There is at 2 o'clock, the Canvas is having a Halloween party from 2 to 10. There is at 4 p.m. out in the Mendenhall Valley Public Library, a creepy cave and library labyrinth.
Ooh, yes.
Scary.
Well, books, libraries are kind of scary
at
anyway.
Night, yeah. Ooh, and they've got all, ooh, creepy.
Smells funny.
Now.
No, I mean, not that place in particular. I mean, old books,
yeah.
Spiders.
So, yeah. So, sounds like fun. Let's do that. At 4:30, it's the Ghost Walk, the annual Ghost Walk at the Mount Jumbo Gym in Douglas. There is at 7 o'clock, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Borg? The Ecological Imperative in the Age of Cybernetic Organisms. This is the lecture at the UAS Egan Lecture Hall. It was almost a lecture saying that. So that's the regular Egan Lecture thing. We got Dan Hobson doing live guitar up at the Baranoff in the Gold Room at 7 o'clock. And The Winter's Tale opens at 7:30 on Halloween.
Wow.
You just heard about the Halloween dance for the Pride Chorus. There is, by the way, Char is sponsoring free taxis home. So if you're out and about and you think you maybe should take a little cab, feel free to call because they're going to take care of that for you. At 10 o'clock out at Suite 907, which is the old Marlantini's, they're having a Halloween bash. It's $5 to get in. There's costume contests and stuff. And once you win that, then at 10 o'clock at the Red Dog, the Great Alaska Bluegrass Band is also having a music thing and costume contest. So you're going to get a lot of good use out of your costume this year. Just put it on once and you're good to go for quite a bit. Starting on Saturday at 10 in the morning, there's a holiday arts and crafts boutique at 907. It'll be interesting how they clean up from one and go to the next, but I'm not on that detail. But, you know, they're capable. They'll manage. You can see the Tale of the West Texas Marsupial at 2, and at 2 p.m., the How Things Happen in 3s. There is the Alaskans Afield Freezer to Fork Wild Game Cooking class at Thunder Mountain High School.
Awesome.
At 3. Yeah. At 6:30 p.m., it's the UAS Chocolate 101, Beer and Wine and Chocolate.
You're going to be there. I can see it in your eyes.
Yes. Yeah, you know, it's chocolate. It's a thing for, it's a sponsor, a fundraiser for the UAS scholarship thing, so you can feel good about going to that. Winter's Tale, again, at 7:30. The Gold Street Music is at 7:30 at Resurrection Lutheran Church. I think Steve Nelson, Fluster, and the Cluckers Kit, Alaska's Kit, there's a whole bunch of Yes, anyway. 8:30, it is Festival of the Three Skulls. That's at the Rockwell. It's Cloud People, Silver Jackson, Playboy Spaceman. I have to say the posters for all these things are fabulous this year.
Yeah, just I agree.
Help us out by going around afterwards and taking some of them home and making them into artwork, because that's what they are. Okay, Daylight Savings Time. Sunday.
My new husband said we get to fall back, and that means we gain an hour.
That's correct. So you can stay out later?
Well, no, because I can sleep.
Oh, whatever.
I'm so boring, Nancy. It's horrible.
At 2 o'clock, there's something called the New First Sunday Crafting Group, and I think people are to get together. And if you need to know where you, if you want to do that, go online and get the phone number and find out where they're going to meet. There is on Monday at 7 p.m. Smoke and Fish Film. It's the U.S. Rec Center. That's Corey Mann's film. It's part of the One Campus, One Book program. It's free. See what I told you? It was busy. Tuesday, you're voting.
Yes, I am.
If you haven't already done so, please don't forget to vote. There's a big one this year.
It's a huge one.
It's a huge one. So don't forget that. And then there's Wildlife Wednesday out at the library at Thunder Mountain. It is the recolonization of sea otters. Wow. We made it through the week.
What? You're impressive. I should have timed you on that. That was really good.
It was really, well, I didn't feel like we had a whole lot of time because there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. And I don't want anybody to miss it.
That's right. And if you, because Nancy got through that calendar in record time, which was amazing.
Yeah.
If you need more information, where can they find that, Nancy?
JAHC.org. And please call 586-3636.
That's right. And you can also check it out on ktoo.org. And Nancy, because you're here and I have an extra, you know, few seconds here, I'm just wondering if you could tell me why you appreciate KTOO.
Well, it's, first of all, it is sort of Grand Central for where things are and what things are happening. It's been a source of community and news and fun music and unusual things for many. I've lived here since 1975, and it's been part of my life since then. So I just really am happy. It's wonderful that we have K2 as a resource here.
Thank you. And if you think so, too, give us a buzz here at 586-3636 or give us a call or check us out online at ktoo.org.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Police in Pennsylvania say a manhunt in the Pocono Mountains is over.